And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Hi, good morning. How's everybody doing today?
Hello.
Yeah, here we are. April 10th.
It is April 10th. Mom's birthday.
5 days from tax day.
Yeah, good luck with that. I did mine yesterday. Man, when you have to pay in, they accept it almost immediately. It's like, hold on, I didn't even click the send button yet. Calm down.
They always,
no, it's been accepted.
They always say a day or two.
Yeah.
I owed a lot more than I thought.
Yeah.
It was not a good day 2 days ago. I went.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I can't remember the last time I got money back, but back when I got money back, it was like, actually that would have been long before even doing it on the internet. That would have been.
Well, the amount, I mean, there were some changes last year, and so the amount was greater. Mm. What I was amazed is they didn't charge me interest for not making prepayments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't. It's suggested, you know, hey, you should look at a quarterly. No.
Well, yeah, but the quarterly they give me is about 10 times what I would ever owe.
Right.
It's
yeah.
always way over. I'm like,
yeah.
How are they figuring this one out?
Yeah, right.
Are they just going, look, Gary, don't buy a treasury bill. Lend us your money for free for
exactly.
a year. Is
yeah.
that what they're doing?
That's been the whole play. That's my mindset. I'm sorry, you don't get to borrow the money. I'll pay it when it's owed. And I'll pay every dime. So, yeah. Nope.
I'll tell you, if I lived in California, this is a year. Now, I had to pay more because things were even better last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's actually a good thing. But when I looked at the amount that I have to pay this year or for last year and then thought, oh, where would I be in the California tax bracket? Would I be at 11 or 12% or 13%?
Yeah.
I'd be gone.
Well, see, that's the thing. Tax preparation, Eric. It's Eric from 2023. How dare you? What were you thinking? Now look at what you owe. What's wrong with you? He just hates that guy, but he gets through it. I was thinking, though, I thought, what would it be like? I mean, we've talked about this, the theory of if the IRS basically showed up at your door on payday, write us the check for what you owe, your income tax, every payday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there would be a greater accounting for where our money goes. Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Didn't you just do this 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
What are you doing with all this money? And that's how it would work. Now, the problem would be you'd have to hire like 80,000 more agents.
Well, you're in luck, Eric. You're in luck.
No one would ever do that.
They did just that
oh,
just for you.
Wait, what? Yeah. And I just looked at it and I thought, you know, my dad and I have talked about it. And, I mean, because we're old school guys. We were doing our taxes long before computers. But now it's like the way it's set up. If you do your own taxes, for me, it's not that I don't trust anyone else. It's that in part, but it's not just that. It's also, you know, and I know it falls on whoever signs it. You know, it's your taxes. But I've got to do that work myself. You know what I mean? I feel like it's my obligation to go through my stuff and say, hey, you know, because, you know, you hear these things. Well, we can find you this. We can find you. Well, I can find, you know, deductions or whatever, but I'm not going to claim anything unless I've got something tangible where I can go, yeah, okay, that is, you know, 100% the case, and that belongs in a deduction category. I'm not going to – I would love to cut my tax bill, and I believe taxes should be low for everybody, but I'm not going to go out of my way to, you know, it's just you hear these. I think there's probably a difference between, you know, those who would, well, we're going to work to find you every penny. For those who don't trust themselves, that's always a good idea. If you've got a tax prep service that's going to do it and do it fairly cheaply, and you don't trust yourself, that, because I may get to that point one day. I may get to it and go, you know what? It's time that somebody with younger eyes take a look at this. And I don't know why I did Ted Koppel there, but I could see that being the case where, you know, okay, I don't trust my instincts to go over everything, because I've got documents laid out all over our home office and, you know, separated and organized in certain ways, and saying, okay, all right, let's do the proper accounting.
Yeah, my dad finally, well, he turns 98 in a couple of days. Mm. But I think when he late 80s, he had somebody do his taxes. Now he knows everything about it.
Yeah, right.
You know, because Dad used to do his taxes, a couple of other relatives' taxes who were getting old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he knows all about it.
Yeah.
For me, I'm sort of like you. I feel like that's something I have to do. It's because that is everything that you're talking about, your income, is your life. It's really personal.
Right. And I think there's an accounting part of it, you know, a personal accounting part of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, all right. You want to know how much you're being taxed. You want to know, you know, go over, okay, this is what we earned. This is, you know, and this is kind of how I spent my money and all that. I think it's a good opportunity to do that, to look at how that money's flowing. I feel like if I handed it over to somebody, then I'm at that point, you know, I would be afraid to get to the point of essentially not having that oversight. I don't think that would be the case with me, because I'd want to look over the shoulder and say, all right, yeah, let's go over this before we sign this and file this. But I just want to be fully involved and do the work myself on the accounting, because it makes me feel like I've taken care of that responsibility.
TurboTax for me makes it pretty easy.
Yeah.
Even when I was itemizing a lot, it still made it pretty easy. And, you know, whatever you pay for them is like, whatever. But I have to go through the process myself.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letter CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It's the same thing I keep saying, because you know as well as I do, we don't have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean on this earth. I mean, we don't have a lot of time.
Well, there's that too.
But I mean, in general, I don't have a lot of time. And trying to fit even, you know, now it's golf season, one golfing round a week is almost impossible. And I'm still cutting my own lawn, doing my own lawn work, cleaning the house and all that. And it's like in my back of my mind, well, maybe I'll get some. Every year I say, maybe I'll get somebody to do that. Since I've got so many friends that are on my case saying, well, you could free up a lot of time, have somebody else do all that.
Right.
You could afford it. And I'm like, nah, I feel like I got to clean my own house and I got to do my own lawn.
Right.
I don't know why.
Well, it's
like it's built into me. Somebody might say, well, you're cheap. No, because the money that to do it wouldn't be a big deal, and it would be there would be a lot of free time, which I'm at that point in my life where I can justify paying money to have freedom.
Well, and it would be a payoff because your time is worth that money. Yeah, and so, you know, but it's...
I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Like, I've got to walk around, you know, the perimeter of my house at least a couple of times a week on the outside to look at things and, you know, and just get a glance at it, you know? I feel like that's my responsibility to do that. It is getting tougher, especially when it gets hotter. But, you know, but then, you know, the same thing. I mean, on taxes yesterday... And I had this huge pile of documents in front of me. I'm like, here we go. And I, you know, and it is that responsibility that I feel. It's like, okay, I'd love to change the tax system. Yes, I would like to file on a postcard, Ted Cruz. You know, I would like to simplify things and I'd like to pay less in taxes, but I'm going to follow the current law and I'm going to also have an accounting of what I earn, what I pay, and you know, and the tax system in general. I think it's a good practice.
You know what got me is now they give you, this is how long it will take you to do your taxes.
Oh my gosh, I went so far over that.
So did I.
It's like an hour and 57 minutes is what they said likely, and I went. Now, the thing was, is I did take breaks because I've learned one of the things I can't do, and I will do this. I will sit at that desk, and I will stay there for 8-9 hours, whatever it takes. I did take breaks and, you know, okay, pause, sign out, come back in 10 minutes, and, you know, and then, and I felt that I wasn't bogged down because that kind of stuff, my wife does things with numbers, and she's a savant when it comes to numbers. She's great. And data entry and that kind of thing. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy at all. And so it really, you know, gives me a headache. And so, but I felt yesterday I paced myself pretty good.
Well, I don't, you know, I moved my desk. I don't have my office anymore. Yeah. I made it basically a sitting reading music room.
Yeah.
Where I can just sit back, nice couch, everything. Mm. And I just put my laptop on the ottoman, threw the papers there.
Yeah.
They were all over the floor.
Yeah.
It said, like, it'll take me a little over an hour to do. Mm-hmm. 2.5 hours later, when I, you know, finished it up. But the fact, you know what it is for me? I'm going over every number that I put in. And even though even though, for example, you can just put in your W-2 and it automatically will put it all up, right. It doesn't matter. I've still got to check every number. I don't feel comfortable not checking every number myself.
Mm-hmm.
And every number was right.
Right.
But if I hadn't checked, I would have been laying in bed. I wouldn't have been able to go to sleep going, you need to get up and you need to go back and you need to check to make sure every number that you put in was right. Because what I did was I do it. And then I don't send it in immediately. I hold off for like 24 or 48 hours. I come back to it again, check all the numbers again, and then I'll send. Then I'll click it in e-file.
I basically will go through and then before I click next and go to the next page, all that data entry, anything that I've done, I go over all the numbers and I have to. I mean, it's just, you know, you see if you enter a number wrong, then that could cost you. You know,
oh, I know,
because that could be seen, you know, instead of if you enter 23 instead of 2300, you know, oh, well, you didn't claim this. You didn't claim the full whatever it is. And I don't want that happening.
We don't want a misunderstanding.
I don't want any misunderstanding.
No misunderstanding.
Nope. No, I'll pay what I owe. And I want it to be right. Yeah, no doubt. I'd like to owe less.
Did you hear that sigh? That sigh was just thinking about how much I paid this year. It was like,
yeah, thanks a lot, Republicans.
For people that don't know, when we say that, when the Republicans cut taxes because of the business taxes they took away.
Yeah.
Eric and I, with the Republican Trump tax cut, ended up paying more money in taxes every year.
It's a lot, Ted Cruz.
And so our fear is if Republicans cut taxes and ours go up, what the hell's going to happen if Democrats raise taxes?
Yeah, I don't know.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Active weather continues over much of the nation, currently in the form of a storm system crossing the south central U.S. this week.
That system is fueling heavy rain, some locally severe thunderstorms across the south.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey adds this system is a slow mover.
This system is going to take its time, first drifting into the mid-south, then moving northeastward into the eastern Corn Belt by Thursday. The system will eventually move northward and weaken across eastern Canada late in the week.
With active weather from this system expected over the next 5 days, including thunderstorms and potential heavy winds, hail, and tornadoes.
The bigger story, I think, with this system will be the widespread heavy rain. Pretty much everybody east of a line from East Texas to Lake Michigan will see at least an inch of rain with this system.
With impacts ranging from beneficial crop moisture to possible flash flooding and field work delays. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Okay, since we were talking about the tax day coming up here, we did this earlier in the show, but want to do it again for the people just waking up here on taxes. New polling was done about how much. What do people think? What do people think rich people pay in taxes?
Yeah,
you know, because we always hear that the rich don't pay their fair share, right? So what does the public think the rich actually pay in taxes? The Tax Foundation did the polling on it. The question was, to the best of your knowledge, how much do you think the top 1% of taxpayers by income account for in terms of a share of the total federal income taxes paid? And it was multiple choice.
Mm.
1%,
mm-hmm.
12%,
mm-hmm.
42%,
mm-hmm.
or 64%. Now, the correct answer as of 2020 is 42%. Now, it's even more now. I think it went up. We saw the new numbers, what, last week or something?
Mm.
Wasn't like 45 or 46%?
I was thinking 44 or 46.
Yeah, it had gone up again. But just, you know, for the sake of going to 2020 numbers, the correct answer is a 2020 is 42%. Less than 25% of those surveyed guessed right. 22%, including over a third of Democrats, thought the top 1% of taxpayers paid only 1% of the total income tax burden. So over 33% of Democrats were wrong. wrong. 42 times wrong. 25% suggested it was 12%.
Yeah.
So you have, that's overall, which means if you look at it, you could extrapolate safely, over 60% of Democrats believe. Because one, the 12% was overall. Or excuse me, 25% was overall. So it would be greater for Democrats because it was across the board. But so you're roughly 60% or more of Democrats believe that the rich, the top 1%, pay 1% of the taxes. The top 1% as of 2020 pay 42% of the taxes. So you can understand when we get Democrats calling the show and running us saying, no, they got to pay more in their fair share. Well, uh-huh. They think they're paying 1% to 12%.
Right. Yeah.
Somewhere either 12 or 1%.
The update for the latest data they have is 2021, and it was 45.8%. So,
okay,
yeah,
so it's gone.
46.
Yeah.
And it went from 2001, it was at 33.2%. So over 20 right. years, it went up to 45.8%.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get there. You know, that's how you build that political support for going after, you know, the rich and corporations. And with corporations, it's what? Well, no, they need to pay more. They need to pay more. Well, corporations don't pay taxes. The consumer pays the taxes. That's a cost of doing business. They pass it on to the consumer. It's how it works.
So when they ask, what do you think the top rate should be on income? 71%, 30% or lower. 5% said 40%, 8% said higher. So 13%, which would be, you've got to be totally liberal, believe it should be 40% or more.
Yeah.
Vast majority of people, 30% or less. The top rate is 37%.
Hmm.
More listeners not now than now, depending on when now is. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Two audio cuts of the day. This testimony that happened on Tuesday, it was Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo, I guess is how you pronounce his name. Admitted to Congress on Tuesday that the $6 billion that the Biden administration unfroze for Iran last year in exchange for the return of five American prisoners likely went to fund violent and terrorism activities. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the oil money and everything else and how, you know, we were told and guaranteed and no, this money is only going for humanitarian causes. You know, all the stop gaps are in there and all that. Well, that's not what the Treasury Department believes. Here it is from this would have been yesterday. Here we go.
You're right that in a democracy, money is fungible. But what we've seen time and time from the Iranian regime is they fail to feed their people and they put the IRGC first. Any dollar they have will go towards their violent activity before they deal with their people. That's partially why almost none of the humanitarian money has been used for humanitarian purposes, is they don't care about getting drugs and food for their people. But the difference is that the United States of America has made as a values proposition that we are always going to provide humanitarian relief for people. And that's what we've said is the only purpose for this money. So while in our country, money is fungible, in Iran, they've proven that any dollar they get that they have direct access to in the country will be used for the IRGC before it's ever used for their people.
Could the Treasury Department be any clearer?
No, that's reality right there.
Right. And what you and I found interesting is he blows away, you know, even hits the fungible argument, but from the opposite point of view.
Right.
That, you'd be able to move money around here, but they're not even moving money around. It's just going straight to violent terrorism activities.
Yeah, they're pretty obvious about it.
Right. They don't care about the people.
No.
That should have been one of the biggest stories yesterday, because everything that the Biden administration's been doing, and it's Joe Biden who did it. He made the decision to reopening the funding to Iran. And the critics, and we've been the critics, have said you're not going to be able to stop them. If you make the cash available, they're going to use it for terrorist activities. Over 150 attacks on U.S. interests.
Yep.
And that's where the money is going. And the Biden administration reversed the Trump administration to allow this to happen.
Tens of billions of dollars every year, and they can fund these proxies all day, every day. And we know this. The Treasury knows this. This administration knows it, and they allow it to happen.
They don't care.
They don't care at all.
Because the next question to ask is, then, well, the Treasury Department seems pretty sure that by allowing this money to go back to them, by unfreezing this money or allowing them to use oil money, it's not going for humanitarian. Your own Treasury Department says it's not going for humanitarian reasons.
Right.
So why are you doing it?
Right.
Why is this happening? Because they're lying. This is the pathological line of John Kirby. This is the pathological line of Biden, of Karine Jean-Pierre. But it's lying about money that has gone to help fund the killing of Americans.
Yes. And will continue to do so.
Yep. And then finally, the other audio cut we wanted to play was Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin yesterday being questioned by Tom Cotton about, is Israel committing a genocide? Hmm. And then there's a follow-up that we'd played this audio cut earlier. We want to play it again. And a follow-up about, you know, how Democrats are moving, you know, Democrats are like hemming and hawing on whether Israel's committing a genocide or not, or they're doing the wrong thing, but they won't get specific on it. You have Lloyd Austin here being blunt about what the Pentagon sees. Here we go.
Secretary Austin, thank you for acknowledging in response to Senator Wicker that Hamas committed war crimes on October 7th and has been committing them every day since by using human shields. I want to address what the protesters raised earlier. Is Israel committing genocide in Gaza?
Senator Cotton, we don't have any evidence of genocide being created.
So that's a no. Israel's not committing genocide in Gaza.
We don't have evidence of that,
to my knowledge. Yeah. Better than Director Burns and Director Haynes did last month at the Intelligence Committee when they dodged that question. You stand accused by those protesters of greenlighting genocide. Would you like to respond to that accusation?
What I would say, Senator Cotton, from the very beginning is that we committed to help assist Israel in defending its territory and its people by providing security assistance. And I would remind everybody that, you know, what happened on October 7th was absolutely horrible. Numbers of Israeli citizens killed, and then a couple of hundred Israeli citizens taken hostage.
American citizens as well. So you deny the accusation that you greenlit genocide?
I absolutely deny.
Okay. For the record, I don't think Israel's committing genocide. I don't believe you greenlit genocide either. You talked a lot with Senator Reid about Israel's responsibility to provide aid in Gaza. Why does Israel have a responsibility to provide aid to Gaza? Israel was the victim of an unprovoked vicious attack on October 7th. Why should they provide aid to the aggressor nation? Or aggressor, Gaza's not a nation, to the aggressors on October 7th. We didn't provide aid to Germany and Japan during World War II.
What we did provide aid to and assistance to many of the countries that we've operated in recently.
But not in World War II. If you had been in George Marshall's or Dwight Eisenhower's position in World War II, would you have wanted to provide aid to Germany?
I really do believe, Senator, that if they want to create a lasting effect in terms of stability, then I think that something needs to be done to account to help the Palestinian people.
I get that, but they're in the middle of the war. Like we believe that too after World War II. That's why we had the Marshall Plan. That's why we rebuilt Japan. But that was after the war was won, not in the middle of it. And in the meantime, like if it's not Israel's responsibility to provide aid, it's certainly not our responsibility, but we're spending our tax dollars to build this giant pier to send aid into Gaza. Who's going to accept that aid? Who's going to be at the end of the pier on the shore taking aid from American forces?
That's still being worked out, but
I don't have to go any further than that one. It's still being worked out.
Yeah, that's a load of
just,
garbage.
It's just, you know, you see the narrative, though, because Austin said it, and so did the Deputy Treasury Secretary. Mm-hmm. Even though they know that the aid money is going to the terrorists, they both are stating, they're communicating, but this is the value of the United States.
Yeah.
The values of the United States are to provide money for humanitarian causes that the terrorists are taking to use against us.
Yeah.
It's pure insanity.
Taxpayer money.
It's just insanity. I wanted to follow up with the, I almost said Lloyd Braun, thinking of Seinfeld, Lloyd Austin here on the whole genocide, because this is where the Democrats are trying to walk the tightrope on it. Most elected Democrats under pressure from their left-wing base. This is the Wall Street Journal. It's headlined, Elizabeth Warren on Israel and Genocide. Biden's drumbeat of blame and criticism empowers the radicals. Most elected Democrats under pressure from their left-wing base ceased months ago to make the moral case for defeating Hamas. It became easier to deplore the war's toll, but criticizing Israel nonstop has left Democrats even more vulnerable to pressure. If the politicians mean what they say, why don't they act on it? Three examples from Monday are instructive. First, a video emerged of Senator Elizabeth Warren's response last week at the Islamic Center of Boston to the question, do you think that Israel is committing a genocide? Her instinct, of course, was to dodge the question. For me, it is far more important to say what Israel is doing is wrong, she said, and accused Israel of deliberately starving Gazan children and worse. That whetted the crowd's appetite for more. They shouted, it was a yes or no question. Ms. Warren then pandered, if you want to do it as an application of law, I believe that they'll find that it is genocide and they have ample evidence to do so. The Islamic Center crowd broke out in applause. It had goaded her to lump Israel with the Nazis.
Yeah.
And others. When the remark became public, Ms. Warren's spokesperson tried to claw it back. Senator Warren commented on the ongoing legal process at the International Court of Justice, not sharing her views on whether genocide is occurring in Gaza.
Yeah, give me a break.
Second, State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller was asked why the U.S. isn't investigating Israel in Gaza like it investigated Russia after its invasion of Ukraine. Instead of rejecting the comparison, Mr. Miller tried to appease the questioner. So we do have a number of ongoing assessments. We have not yet at this time concluded that Israel has violated international humanitarian law, but we have ongoing assessments. In other words, the Israelis aren't yet war criminals, but we're investigating them and will keep that threat looming over their heads. They could teach this in How to Undermine an Ally 101. Third, Mr. Miller said it wasn't enough for Israel to evacuate citizens from Rafah, Hamas's stronghold. Even more than that, we have made clear to Israel we think a full-scale military invasion would have enormous harmful effect on those citizens, he said. So it's not just a question of Israel presenting a plan to us. Gazans will suffer, so Hamas must be spared an invasion, is what they're communicating there. Why stop there? Virginia Senator Tim Kaine now wants the White House to withhold bombs and other offensive weapons that can kill and wound civilians. Never mind that offensive weapons are necessary to defeat terrorists. Pelosi and 55 House Democrats also demand the White House cut off weapons to Israel, even while Hamas and Hezbollah fire on it and Iran threatens an attack. When nearly the only message for weeks from the White House is to castigate Israel for the war's toll, what do you expect from the followers? Betrayal is in the air. But understand this again. Everyone, whether it's Elizabeth Warren, whether it's Tim Kaine, whether it's President Biden, whether it's Nancy Pelosi or those 55 Democrats, everyone is pro-terrorist, pro-genocide.
Yep. This is who they are.
That's who they are.
And there's no coming back from that.
Nope.
There is no coming back from that.
Every one of them.
Then it's over the top insane. And this is where they are.
They are pro the murder of innocent civilians.
Yep.
There is no, you said this day one, Eric. There's no middle ground here.
There's no gray area, period.
None.
None. You have radicals, you have a line, and on the other side of that line, everybody else, and you're either on one side or the other.
There's no middle ground here. We're attempting to appease Hamas. We need their votes. Democrats need the pro-genocide, the pro-butchering of civilians demographic in the United States in order to hopefully win the 2024 election.
That's
where the
for.
Democratic Party is in 2024.
Yes. There's no coming back from that.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara. Finally, world oldest man, age 111, shares the secrets to living long.
Yeah?
Don't smoke.
Okay.
Just a little alcohol.
All right.
But don't exercise too much either.
Okay.
And he basically, no special diets, nothing.
Mm, right.
What it comes down to.
Everything in moderation.
Genetics.
Yeah.
Genetics and don't smoke.
Right. You know? Yeah.
He does. He's still, his name, John Alfred Tenniswood of Great Britain.
All right.
He 111 years, 223 days old as of April 5th.
Okay.
He still gets out of bed each morning, listens to the radio. Manages his, this is great. We were talking about taxes before. Manages his own finances.
There you go.
At 111.
Yeah, good. Good for him.
But they said, what do you think, though, of all the things you've talked about doing in moderation, why do you think you've lived so long? Pure luck.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a number of things, right? A mindset. Everything in moderation, you know, your mindset is everything, you know, having a positive outlook on things, you know, wanting to get up every day.
If he can do his own finances at 111, maybe I could do the show till I'm 100.
All right. Go with that.
Okay.
All right.
This is Red Eye Radio. On Westwood One.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.